Our theme tonight is neocon spring. This neocons are having a great spring, as Trump does U-turns in both the Middle East and North Korea. I interviewed Saker, which we'll publish next week. I just interviewed him yesterday, and he points out we're attacking all the people who are taking out ISIS. Not a good sign. But we had a very in-depth discussion, and I recommend that to you. It really does look to me like David Rockefeller's death has redoubled the push for the 5 countries in 7-year plan. It's basically the central banking model, which is doubling down on central control, the war on cash, global digital currency. Unfortunately, they need the old nationalists and the young transparency buffs out of the way. And part of the problem is they've got falling margins on the multinationals, falling margins on natural resource extraction, falling margins on financial fees and spread. It's part of the impact of artificial intelligence and automation. Ron Paul said earlier this week it would have been devastating for them if peace had broken out. They were in real danger of peace breaking out. What you're watching is the people who basically encouraged Trump to take many positions counter to the neocons during the election are really being forced out. So we see first Flynn goes. Bannon is under real assault and sort of cornered. Wouldn't surprise me if Peggy Noonan's editorial about him helped to sort of keep him in the White House, but he's clearly in retreat. There's jokes now on MSNBC that Kellyanne Conway's office is in the basement. And it's not a good sign because Trump's basically cutting off his own legs. But we also see it happening in the press with O'Reilly and Assange, which I'll talk just a minute. The problem with this is the clear main message to people is it's dangerous to support him in bucking the establishment. So he's cutting off his own legs before he's even tried to build bridges to the people who voted Democratic but would really support the Make America Great campaign. So if you look at the politics, he's really putting himself in a corner. But look at the media support for him. Bill O'Reilly is now out at Fox. Supposedly, this was part of cleaning house because of his bad behavior in terms of sexual harassment. I doubt that's the reason. I think there are a couple of reasons to get him out, but most of them all tie back to the politics of not letting the Trump phenomena happen again. And cutting the nationalist legs out from under. So this is really the neocons at work. I think the real big danger is that whole network is going to roll out 5G, and 5G is cell service, and they're really looking to significantly increase the entrainment mind control. And part of this is a push to get the millennials on board politically. Because that's how they sort of pull the rug out from under the pro-national team. Fox is moving Tucker Carlson up. He's much more popular with the millennials and much less, sort of a much more inclusive style. Then CNN today reports that the U.S. is about to issue an arrest warrant for Julian Assange. My guess is Assange is sitting on a lot more pedophilia. And my advice to him is he better get it out fast. The establishment is very scared, and it's a pretty bad sign if they try and take out WikiLeaks, and it's something we don't want to see happen. And then Alex Jones has family court problems and is getting targeted by social media, has been for about 6 weeks, really cutting into his revenues. And if you look at the extent to which Alex Jones, Julian Assange, and Bill O'Reilly did tremendous things to help Trump get elected. The fact that they're all getting picked off while he's busy engaging in pro-neocon policies really tells you that there's a political IQ he's missing. Interestingly enough, Gallup now shows as of yesterday his polls at 43 approve, 50 disapprove. Looks like the war bump that he got is over. And the day before, the Economist survey showed Congress with 14% approve and 61% disapprove. The result is what's really happening is the establishment is carrot sticking him, sort of using carrots and sticks to put them into where they want them, and they found a sweet spot. And again, they keep moving to cut off his independent strength, and he's letting them. And so he's losing his base at the same time he's not building bridges, again, as I said, to the people who voted Democratic but want to make America great again. And so instead of building the bridges he needs to be building, he's cutting off his own base and not building those bridges. So he's going to end up very dependent on the establishment. New announcement from the administration that they will not publish White House visitor logs. That's very seriously bad news. And the reality is, if you look at the Washington media, they can see who's coming and going. They can get that intel. So you're giving a lot more power to the people who are trying to really bring you down. What's been happening is divide and conquer is succeeding for the establishment. For a president to get any big shift in policy, he needs a much higher approval rating and much bigger consensus in the country for any given policy or support. And so if you keep everything divided and conquered, that means you can't get anything through Congress or the Washington approval process without the establishment engineering it. So if they can engineer things through, but you can't get anything else without a big approval rating, then the divide and conquer makes sure that you can. And unfortunately, it's very sad, but Americans fall for it. I've been amazed at the Trump supporters who've been aggravated by the sound of the shriek-o-meter. And I keep saying, look, the sound of the shriek-o-meter is the Washington establishment losing, you know, their cash flows dropping as Trump does what you want. If you're not willing to ignore the shrieking, then they're going to control. Why would you concede them control? But we're doing it. Tax day came and went on Tuesday. I think it was very tough for Americans when their disapproval rating of their federal government is this low one way or the other. Also, if you look at the polls of is the country headed in the right direction, to dig deep and pay your taxes at this time is very painful. So you have to be, if you're paying your taxes, you're being honest when they're not. So, and again, you're producing a financial statement for them when they refuse to produce financial statements as required by law. Congressional recess is over. The spring recess is over on April 25th, and the debt limit fight starts on April 28th. This could mean really big fireworks. And now, it's funny, Stockman has given a couple of great interviews. I put one of them up on the website today. And he thinks the implication of him and other commentators is the banks and the banking systems are out of tricks. I don't think they're out of tricks at all. But the reality is, I think the tensions here and the slowdown in the economy, in the fundamental economics, is part of why this 7 countries in 5 year plan that General Wesley Clark talked about. If you haven't seen that video, you really want to do a search for General Wesley Clark and listen to the plan to take out 7 countries in 5 years after 9/11. But I think they've revved that plan up. And if you look at the military costs of revving that plan up, it means the chances of the Make America Great Again investment are dying on the vine. Now, the president says this week that he's gonna resolve Obamacare first and then do tax reform. That's very tricky to do. There must be a reason that they believe they can do it. I don't know what it is, but I don't see how you get real tax reform by August, particularly if you're going to do Obamacare first. Although I do see, if you just wanted to do a quickie that brings back the corporate cash, that's relatively easy to do. The Secretary of Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, said this week in an open public videotape discussion, again, I put it up on the blog, that there's going to be big sweeping tax reform before the end of the year, and he appears confident that they have a deal. So that is very possible, but you're going to have big big consensus inside the establishment. The establishment's going to have to push it through. So let's see what emerges. As I said, Stockman thinks they're going to be so just grabbed by the whole debt limit discussion and inability to get a resolution on the debt limit, that it's going to make it impossible to get a solution on both Obamacare and tax reform. I don't agree, but let's see what happens. It could go either way. Now, what does this all mean? What does neocon spring mean to you? What it means is that a great deal of money is going to go into the military machine, and as that happens, we're going to experience significant debasement of the currency. What that means is asset inflation, expense inflation. We're already experiencing it now, but it's going to accelerate. So we're going to get an accelerated squeeze to the middle class. It's just as I described in the annual wrap-up. And if you haven't read the annual wrap-up, I would encourage you to go back and do that. So there's going to be money for military, but not money for pension bailouts. And I think one of the reasons they're making such a strong push to get 5G out and to get political support from the millennials for, particularly for a centralized, controlled, cashless society, is that's how you really pull the rug out from under the boomers and just let them down hard over the financial coup. Now, how far this administration is going to go on prioritization and liquidation, it's still too early to tell if they're going to be that short-sighted. So the game is far from over, and I still think we're significantly better off than if Clinton had won the White House in terms of both foreign wars and what happens domestically. But this is trench warfare, and as I've said all along, if there's any message here, it's that we really have to get involved locally. This is real trench warfare. And ultimately, it's going to be decided 3,100 counties, one county at a time. Somebody told me they got a survey in the mail this week. And then another person told me they were going to a town hall meeting, so I gave them the same agenda. Number one, tell your Congress critter to find the 11.5 trillion of undocumentable adjustments at HUD and DOD. If the $20 trillion of debt's going to be on the table, then we want the $11.5 trillion that disappeared and the assets that it financed back on the table. Second, we want audited financial statements as required by law. You know, why should we give them an honest statement on April 15th if they won't give us one back? Third, they should publish the federal budget by county. There's a commentary up on my website called Letter to My Congressman. And I strongly suggested you get it, make a copy, and send it to your congressman. But it's all about getting the data by your county so you can start to see money on a place-based basis. And finally, publish the federal contracting budget. What you're going to find, if you look at the federal contracting budget, is, you know, corporations are being paid $100 an hour to do something that somebody in your neighborhood could do by teleporting, you know, by telecommuting for significantly less, and we'd all be better off. So anyway, find the missing money, produce audited financial statements, publish the federal budget by county, and publish the federal contracting budget. And for heaven's sakes, you know, whether you're going to a town hall meeting or you're surveyed or you're writing your Congress, just print out my letter to the congressman, change the name to your congressman and send it.